which is the gentleman who could not make it and has sent us a video. His name is A.J. Boulay. It's entitled The Singularity, Human-Computer Interaction, and God's Design in Nature. And let's explore this video, shall we?
He was my roommate, and, you know, I've relished the singleness of my stay, but I wanted to chat with him about his paper before I saw him here.
I'd like to hear more about that, but let's play the video. Here we go.
Singularity, Human-Computer Interaction, and God's Design in Nature. A.J. Boulay, Computational Science, Laurentian University. Brief introduction. My name is A.J. Boulay. I'm a computational scientist studying at Laurentian University. I'm currently developing 3D virtual reality interfaces that can be applied in emergency mine rescue training simulations. We are simulating emergency disasters in 3D virtual reality to help real emergency workers be best prepared for the unexpected. You might have similar emergency workers here in Tulsa for your oil rigs. I hope that you will see how this gives a unique perspective on the question of the singularity, HCI, that's human-computer interaction, and God's design in nature. My background. I spent my undergrad programming neural networks in a psychology artificial cognition lab at the University of Western Ontario, and I also obtained a degree in philosophy of science. I worked in the Department of Neurology at the University of Toronto Medical School for a while, and although there are many scientific fields that are associated with the singularity, I can only speak on the areas that I'm most familiar with. Today I will be talking about four things. First, the technological singularity, what that is and what that means. Second, creativity in God's design in nature. Third, human-computer interfaces and simulations. And fourth, God as communicator, how we perceive the beckoning of God. Part one, the technological singularity. The technological singularity. Even though I am providing this perspective today, I'm not an expert in singularity. We are fortunate to have persons associated with the Singularity University attending the American Scientific Affiliation conferences, such as Brad Templeton, who is the chair of networks and computing there. I can only provide a brief description from the point of view of my expertise, which is machine learning and human-computer interaction. A definition of the singularity. What is the singularity? This is a definition taken from the documentary Singularity or Bust. A definition of the singularity may be 1, the state, fact, quality, or condition of being singular. 2, a peculiarity or odd trait. Or a definition of the singularity may be 3, a future period during which the pace of technological innovation will be so rapid, its impact so deep, that human life will be irreversibly transformed. Although neither utopian nor dystopian, this epoch will transform the concepts that we rely on to give meaning to our lives, from our models of commerce to the cycles of human and non-human life, including death itself. Some theories regarding the singularity describe a feedback loop between human intelligence and technology. Here we see intelligence creates technology, and a feedback loop where technology improves intelligence. This is called the singularity feedback loop. It was proposed by Werner Winkey, and other thinkers have also supported the idea. Ray Kurzweil and Werner Winkey defined technological singularity in terms of technological creation of superintelligence. They claim it is difficult to predict what human beings' lives will be like after the arrival of a technological singularity. Moore's law and applications of mathematics to describe exponential growth are cited as causes for the singularity. Kurzweil has suggested a law of accelerated returns to explain the cause of the singularity. In these descriptions and others like them, the increase in technology means development in ways that we can learn things through the development of new instruments. And this increase in learning causes a paradigm shift that is related to the singularity. Here we can see a graphical representation of that statement. This shows the accelerating technological development of human intellect. We see a singularity timeline running across the bottom, which shows a rise in human intellect, which could be driven by integrating with machines in the future. And you can see the intersection beginning at 1950 through to the year 2000, where human intellect has intersected with technological development, particularly at the point of machine intelligence. Kurzweil predicts that there will be a stage in this progression where transhumans will be developed. And this is a kind of a cyborg relationship with technology, where humans will interface with technology in such a way that might challenge our concepts of humanity. Machine learning. Machine learning is one section of artificial intelligence. Many machine learning systems differ from traditional computing because they're not limited to a logic-based procedure, but can learn like humans from experience. It is the improvement of machine learning systems that have facilitated the current popular explosion in data mining, the internet, for example. Learning machines can make conclusions from internet experience. It is submitted that machine learning will be the area of artificial intelligence that is most closely associated with the technological singularity. The technological singularity and God's design in nature. The question that we address today is, can we examine acceleration of technological development in the singularity as it affects human intellect in a way that evokes God's design in nature? What can we learn from the field of science and religion that can inform human-computer interaction, especially with regard to the singularity? Creativity and God's design in nature. In Genesis, God is a purposeful designer that imposes order on chaos. God's command is powerful, and the divine word is effective. Biblical images depict God as a potter forming an object, for example, or as an architect laying out the foundations for a building. So in these examples, God is seen as a craftsman who creates a technology. And God creates through the word that is active in the world and is made known in Christ, the Word incarnate. There is also an image of God as a gardener, and this image allows for a distancing of the nature gods of other cultures and allows for a dynamic process rather than a static product like an architectural building. Now we turn to the third point that we wanted to talk about today, which is human-computer interfaces and simulation. A definition of human-computer interaction can be provided this way. Human-computer interaction is defined as being concerned with designing interactive products to support the way people communicate and interact in their everyday and working lives. Errors in the design of human-computer interfaces can have drastic effects. One example is the Three Mile Island accident. Three Mile Island accident was a partial meltdown in one of two nuclear reactors in 1979. It was the worst accident in U.S. commercial power plant history, rated as a 5 out of 7 as a nuclear accident with wider consequences. The accident was caused by mechanical failures that were associated with inadequate training and poor human-computer interaction design in the control room indicators in the power plant's user interface. Preventing disasters through HCI, or human-computer interaction. Good human-computer interaction design could have prevented this accident, the Three Mile Island accident. But we have to ask, what makes good human-computer interaction? Well, another name associated with HCI is usability, where the human is the user. Good HCI is associated with design features that make good usability, such as efficiency, effectiveness, and user satisfaction. Good usability design can prevent or avoid disasters associated with technology. Human-computer interaction and the singularity. It has been proven that good human-computer interaction design can be employed to prevent industrial disasters, and this is generally accepted. Now, considering that, the relationship between human-computer interaction and safe technological singularity should be clear. The human factors that are associated with technology must be addressed through good human-computer interaction practices to ensure that the technology user is satisfied and the technology performs in an efficient and effective manner. Now we move on to the fourth section of this talk, which is God as communicator, how we perceive the beckoning of God. God is the communicator. Arthur Peacock describes God as the communicator conveying meaning through patterns of nature and through the person of Christ. He writes that natural, causal, creative nexus of events is itself God's creative action. He holds that the processes of nature are inherently creative. However, arguments from design are suspect because they rely on human reason rather than on divine revelation. Today, God can be viewed as the designer of a self-organizing system if we look at the world as, or the universe as a self-organizing system, or a many-leveled creative process that includes law, chance, and immersion. This is a quote from Bob Wood, 1997. A theology of nature, not natural theology. Bob Wood, 1997, advocates a theology of nature that is based on religious experience and the life of the religious community with regard for science. Babur suggests the extension of new ideas from science as a means of describing how God may interact with the world. Of significance is the communication of information as an important concept in many areas of science, especially in computer applications. Human-computer interaction is one example where communication of information is central. God as communicator. Now we have to consider what God as communicator means. We have an idea from Barbour, and we'll also examine an idea from Peacock, and then we'll try to examine what this means to technological singularity and artificial intelligence. According to Barbour, the notions of communication of God as communicator are not unlike the biblical notions of logos that can be viewed as communication of a rational structure and meaning when interpreted in a wider context. But what does this mean to life, to organisms, to the world? Peacock and others suggest that an idea of top-down causality within the hierarchy of levels in organisms, where God acts as at a still higher level, acting on the world as a constraint without violating the relationships at lower levels. Now, what does this mean to AI? If you consider that the artificial intelligence technology that will likely be somehow related to events of the technological singularity are likely machine learning methods. Deep learning, as an example of machine learning, and other examples of artificial intelligence employ a hierarchical organization. This is very common. So the relationship between Barbour's notion of logos can be immediately transferred and connected to Peacock's idea of hierarchies in the concept of artificial intelligence as it relates to the technological singularity. In other words, God is a communicator as employed in the world can be mirrored or perceived, easily observed in the structure of the artificial intelligence that is developing towards the technological singularity. Recall that we had mentioned earlier that Barbour had described God as a communicator, and that God as a communicator had an influence over a self-organizing structure, which was the universe, the world. But Barbour, and of course Kurzweil and Winge and other thinkers, were not the first to ponder these ideas. Théâtre de Chardin was a Jesuit scientist who argued from scientific evidence and created a natural theology, or theology of nature, around ideas very similar to the ideas of singularity. He described rudimentary forms of sentience and purposiveness as seen as internal forces that use chance variations in a kind of evolutionary way in the development of self-organization. Théâtre does not introduce divine intervention to account for gaps in the scientific account, but displays teleology in his whole process, and not a design of particular structures. And this has a significance to the representation of God as a gardener, where the process is dynamic rather than situated and local. Omega Point and Singularity. In his book, Phenomenon of Mantea, describes the convergence of evolution by introducing a concept of God as Omega. The Omega Point is the principle we needed to explain the persistent marching of things towards greater consciousness. And his ideas are strongly influenced by Christian thinking. You can see the relationship between his thinking and his notions and the singularity, where superintelligence, as described by Kurzweil and Winge, is replaced in his thinking as the march of things towards greater consciousness. However, one thing that is important to consider is that Teilhard succeeded in defining an approach or a method or an understanding of how this approach, this march of things towards greater consciousness, can be done in a way that allows hearing God's voice in nature. Teilhard defends a divine creativity imminent in the whole natural order, where creation and redemption form a single process through Christ. Instead of a sharp distinction between human and non-human, or between mind and matter, Teilhard held that there was a mental side in all beings. A modest proposal. We have some esteemed experts on technological singularity with us in the ASA, so I had to ask myself, how can I, a lowly master's student, contribute something of interest to this discussion? So I can only speak from the area that I'm an expert in, which is machine learning and 3D virtual reality emergency response training simulation design. I work for Morarco Corporation, a center for research and development in the mining industry. I'm also completing a master's in computational science at Laurentian University. I develop systems and software for training persons in the area of emergency response in the event of mining disasters or emergencies. The area that I work in specifically is in three-dimensional virtual reality mine rescue simulations. And these simulations use the same technology and methods that are used to train military personnel, fighter pilots, firefighters, and others in high-risk occupations. The systems that I develop create mine emergency scenarios for trainees that allow them to be immersed in the crisis situation with no harm to anyone. This promotes decision-making abilities in the trainees and allows potential problems to be addressed and solved with no cost in life or property. So what does my experience in developing software for emergency mine rescue training simulations in immersive 3D virtual reality mean to technological singularity? Well, we propose that the best way to prepare for the occurrence of a technological singularity is by developing simulations and games that produce possible scenarios that might be related to a technological singularity that can be addressed and solved by everyone. If people can think about the scenarios that may occur before they occur and enter into an immersive environment that allows them to deal with the situation in a creative manner, then the outcomes will be beneficial. The philosophical and theological issues that are associated with the technological singularity can be woven into the narratives that are associated within the singularity simulations. Important concepts that we have discussed today or may discuss in the future can be directly integrated into the simulation, such as real computer hacking concerns or organizational infrastructure malfunctions, or other concerns regarding the technological singularity that can be addressed by people in gameplay, in a simulation. Now, this is not a reference to the notion that we exist in a simulation, which is a philosophical example of a brain in a vat argument due to the singularity. Hearing God's voice in nature. There are many ways to practice hearing God's voice. Prayer is probably one of the most common and logical ways, intuitive ways to hear God's voice. But if we can practice other ways of hearing God's voice in nature, we can develop our sensitivity to it. and the design of simulation games that deal with scenarios associated with the singularity may include opportunity to develop or practice hearing God's voice. God as a communicator is central to this endeavor, as it is the interaction between technology and humanity that will drive how the technology associated with the singularity is made. In mind rescue simulations, communication is essential, not only in interaction with the system, the HCI, or human-computer interaction, but also between persons on the rescue training teams. How can human-computer interaction allow us to hear God's voice? Well, so far in this discussion, there's been a strong relationship between a relationship made between nature and creativity. And it is suggested that the process of creativity may be a method by which we can practice hearing God's voice, just as it is a relationship to nature. God as gardener, for example, allows us to see the whole process of nature, not just isolated pieces. It allows us to see the product of God's vision as a dynamic process rather than a finished and final product. The designs that I'm researching for human-computer interaction and 3D virtual reality in emergency scenarios emphasize the implementation of creativity by training system users. This is a feature of my research. This isn't a general idea. I'm really trying to develop opportunities for system users to apply levels of creativity in the interaction. So this means that the users are invited to participate in the creative problem solving that is really important to dealing with disaster situations. We suggest that creativity opens the mind to listen for God. The interfaces that I'm designing promote the emergence of group knowledge. If you think about 3D VR immersive spaces like the one that you see in this photo, there is a group of users working together in the simulation space. You see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals, and they're inside an immersive 3D VR space, learning about mining rescue by experiencing a mining disaster situation. But what has to be considered is that the communication that occurs will not only be occurring between one individual and the system, but there's a very small 5-person social network or group that is interacting with the system. So this means that this is a 5-person to one computer system interactive interface, which is rarely examined or rarely developed. This group interface, in my research, is the kind of interface that will develop group knowledge. And it does this by encouraging creativity in group problem solving. We propose that by facilitating creativity through human-computer interaction, we can develop emergent group knowledge and thus promote better decision-making at the crisis point. The same reasoning can be applied in the consideration of group immersive simulations that deal with scenarios specific to the technological singularity, such as hacking events or disruption of urban infrastructures or other similar events or situations. Hearing God's voice by practicing to listen. By training with simulations and good human-computer interaction, emergency responders practice creative thinking and problem solving as a group. Elijah listened for God's voice when he was seeking safety from his persecutors. God spoke to Elijah, gave him food and water and a place of safety from danger. Likewise, by preparing the mind to listen for God's voice in times of danger, we can protect ourselves. This is a creative process that can be developed through simulation and games. Hearing God's voice in nature. If you are practicing to hear God's voice, you know that you can always hear his voice in Scripture. God's voice is found in Scripture, and it is through logos that his voice is heard. Logos is the voice of God. Emergencies and disasters are sometimes called acts of God, so it certainly makes sense to listen for God's voice when simulating such crisis and emergency response procedures. By preparing to deal with potential hazards associated with the technological singularity through games and simulation, we can open our mind to the Word of God and to listen when He speaks in reality or in nature. Against hazards, we can find safety. Elijah was able to find safety by listening to God's voice in nature. And 3D VR training simulations allow us to query nature to discover safety. Good human-computer interaction promotes creativity, and creativity promotes hearing God's voice. In conclusion, we have addressed the question of how human-computer interaction can promote the hearing of God's voice in nature. And we've examined this through the light of technological singularity, as described as a technological creation of superintelligence. We suggest that by developing simulations that employ HCI, or human-computer interaction, in a way that promotes creativity and group knowledge, we may prepare against crises and disasters that may be related to the singularity. Barbour, Peacock, and Teilhard may agree that we can regard God as communicator, speaking through logos. And we can participate in that logos. It is through improved communication in human-computer interaction and among ourselves that we can practice in simulation to listen for the voice of God in nature and prepare for the technological singularity.
You have a question for A.J. Boulay?
I do, for all of us.
Okay,
of us.
A comment?
And that is, how, I think that the whole idea of a technological singularity in which some greater consciousness will emerge, I think that there's fundamental barriers to that happening. I think only God could create a new consciousness. But I think that belief in this will increase, and the belief in this may reach a singularity, and that leads to a question of whether if this does happen, and then there's the claim that the new voice of world unity has arisen through the internet, through some supercomputer, how do we know whether it was the voice of God or the voice of Satan?
God doesn't have existence.
It's hard to, if this was hard to listen to, I'm sorry, I want to resist the urge to, he's not here, this is his.
This is something he'll listen to.
He'll listen to it later, go ahead. Nope. He's here virtually.
Can I encourage you to read some Michael Polanyi? Start with science, faith, and technology, and then personal knowledge. And there's, Polanyi has some wonderful arguments on how we have vastly underestimated what it is to be human.
Okay, thank you.
I did the talk on transhumanism yesterday. I'd like to suggest that the singularity is not necessarily just the emergence of one computer that happens to be a greater than human intelligence, but actually is something we can see happening now in the fact that we're surrounded by vast areas of computer intelligence. And it may not be that we get to where, you know, we have a laptop that's smarter than a human, but the fact that our whole world is increasingly pervaded by computer intelligence, and changes so many things. From, you know, we're seeing the emergence of self-driving cars. We're going to see a lot of very different behavior. Yeah. You know, we've already created this vast kind of sea of intelligence that's increasing all the time.
Very good. Very good. Last comment.
The difference between the strong AI, which is the emergence of a computer intelligence, and weak AI, where we cannot set limits on the possible intelligence that computers may attain, and that their intelligence will be different from human intelligence. Kurzweil deals with this interface fairly rigorously, and the breaking point is, will that there be cooperative engagement with the computer universe, which he suggests there is. He's very positive. Yeah. Thinker, or will this turn into a gray sludge kind of world where the computers end up disemboweling human beings? So that's where the, will they ever be like humans? No. I mean, I think it's fairly clear that they will never have, quote, human intelligence. But they have already far surpassed our intelligence. In fact, if you go to a hospital, you're not going to be diagnosed by a doctor anymore. And if you are, you should sue for malpractice. Because the AIs that do diagnosis today are far more competent than the doctors, any individual or group of them.
Yeah. This is a fascinating discussion that I hate to put an end to, but we need to move on. So thank you for your talk, AJ.